Gates open at 11. Ceremony goes from 12 to 3. Go to MissouriFreedomTour.com. That's MissouriFreedomTour.com.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
It's tough keeping up with the evolving technology of today's business environment. GFI Digital has you covered, offering the latest in copiers, managed print, and customized IT solutions for every business need. At GFI Digital, we make technology simple.
Shop local for all of your medical and sanitation supply needs with family-owned St. Louis staple, Bertarelli Cutlery and Supply. Work with Marco and his family directly, and they will handle your order. Masks, hand sanitizer, sanitizing wipes, disposable gloves, thermoscanners, and more. Everyone is getting back to work, and Bertarelli Cutlery can customize your plexiglass dividers for your workplace. Contact Marco directly by emailing marco@bertarellico.com or calling 314-323-0712, and he will take your order and take care of you.
Our homes are where we feel the most happy, safe, and secure. So when we see signs of foundation problems, like cracks and uneven floors, we want to make sure it's fixed forever. At Woods Basement Systems, we understand. We've been eliminating foundation worries since 1986. Call Woods at 800-388-9326 for a free estimate. That's 800-388-9326 and stop worrying. Foundation problems don't get better with time. They get better with us. The All Things Basement-y experts. Go online to WoodsBasementSystems.com today. That's WoodsBasementSystems.com.
The Village Bar is open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup, and the dining room is now open. Get a couple burgers for yourself, or their quart-sized chili is perfect to feed the entire family. Located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532. Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. At MyBookie, winning season means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up watching your team trounce their rivals. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code KFNS and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Use promo code KFNS and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie.
590 The Fan and the Ryan Kelly Morning After are happy to announce registration for the Lemmings Open Golf Tournament on Friday, October 23rd, presented by Michelob Ultra and GFI Digital. Or some tickets will be $600 and will include golf and cart for four players, lunch, and booze. The tournament will take place at Gateway National and get started with a 10:30 shotgun start. Get your tickets now. This is a first-come, first-serve event. Go to eventbrite.com and search Lemmings Open to sign up today. Or find the link under events on 590thefan.com.
Well, we keep our word here, and we told David that if he'd hold, we'd let him come into Scott Sherman's hour, so he did hold, and we're going to put him on. David, welcome to 590 The Fan. Thank you for holding. What can we do for you?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for taking my call, AM and PM.
You bet.
Hallelujah. All day long. All right, roll tide. I would like to say this, 2 points, and then I really appreciate Mr. Sherman allowing me for this time also.
Well, he didn't allow it. In fact, he fought it. He said, don't put that guy on during my hour. And we said, sit down and be quiet and eat some candy, and we're talking to David. So,
hey, wait a minute. David kind of snuck something in there. He said Roll Tide. Were you talking about Crimson Tide?
You got that right.
Okay. I thought he said roll. I thought he said roll cards.
No. Okay. He said roll.
I thought he just
tie.
Had it staying. Whatever you do, don't say War Eagle back to him.
No, you better not. Hang up this phone and forget.
David, you know what? It's a good thing I don't know sports. I'm too dumb to even know to do something like that. So what's up, David?
Two points. I like to say, as a 44-year-old black man from Alabama, mm-hmm. Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Black Lives Matters does not represent all of us.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. You're the voice we never hear, but there are millions of you.
I think we need to speak out more, and perhaps some, not all, but some of this mess cut it out. It's just ridiculous, and I just had to call in.
David.
Did you hit something on the nail? Oh, my God.
David, I wish I had saved it so I could tell you where to find it on YouTube. A listener sent me, it's 58 seconds. It's not long, and it is a black guy. I don't know where this guy, he takes 58 seconds to say to the people in the black community who like to burn police cars and think that every time a black person gets stopped, it's racism. And I can't quote him because he said the F word like 20 times, but he said basically, listen to me, you effing moron. He said, I'm a black man. I am not afraid of the police. I've been stopped. I didn't get cuffed. I didn't get thrown on the ground. I didn't get a knee in my neck because you know why? I'm not a criminal. And he says, and I comply, and that's all you have to do. He said, so shut the F up. And it was unbelievable. This guy was great. I love this guy. But I think
and I could have said the same thing, just without the F word.
David, here's the deal. You represent 98% probably of the black population, but you know who gets the attention? You see it. The people in the streets are burning and looting and walking out with tennis shoes and stuff. And that's the picture that people see of black men. And it's not right.
Unfortunately, and it's not right. It's absolutely not right. And I just hate it, can't stand it. That's why I do my best to represent, as my mother taught me, and my grandmother taught me, and my father, because they were all in the home. And to taught me to just respect everybody, no matter what. Now you come across a drunk that's a jerk, that's a jackhole, you ain't got to give him no room for life. But that's how we determine how we treat you, if you're a jerk and a jackwagon, not by the color of your skin.
Well, if anybody's ever watched Cops or Live PD, I've seen how they treat white guys in wife beater shirts. It's not good.
It's not fun.
It's not fun. They get exactly what they deserve. So, David, it was worth it. Go ahead.
Can I get one more point in? Sure. I apologize, but I have to talk about this because you hit something on the nail. If President Trump actually gets voted in again, what the heck's going to happen to our country with all these loudmouth idiots burning mom-and-pop restaurants down? Yeah. Are we going to die by carbon monoxide poisoning? Because that's what would happen if Joe Biden comes in, because it'd be a slow death for this country.
David,
or are we going to let these other people speak for us?
But see, isn't it interesting that you said if he gets elected, here's what will happen. Nobody says, oh, man, I hope Joe Biden doesn't get elected. This country's going to burn. Nobody, they know that's not going to happen, but I don't know. Let me ask you, David, a question. I'm not going to ask you how you're going to vote, David, but I'm going to ask you this. Not who you're going to vote for, but who do you actually believe will win? Who do you think will win?
And I hate to say it, but I think Joe Biden might win just because of all this that they're allowing to happen and because of the slanted news of America's burning. If we allow something else to happen, but I'd rather see it coming than carbon monoxide, to tell you the truth. I just wish President Trump would put his foot down just a little bit more and just say, screw it. If you burn something, you're going to get federal cops in there, arrest them, give them felony crimes, and put them to jail and stop this crap.
Well,
I just wish he'd put his foot down just a little bit more, to be honest.
It used to be that way. David, I'm so glad we waited for your call. Thank you.
Are you listening in Alabama?
No, sir. I was thinking of Austin, Illinois. I'm from Brewton, Alabama, from way of the military. So as an Army brat, I know what it is to comply when whether you're wrong or not.
Oh.
You comply. And if you're safe, you're good, you're going to walk away. But if you're a criminal, you did the crime due to time, right?
David, I lived in Tennessee for 15 years of my life, and here's what I say about the upcoming election. The news media acts like everybody lives on the East or West Coast. It's all New York, L.A., New York, L.A.
Yeah.
It's like they don't even know there are people living in Arkansas, Alabama, Kentucky, Mississippi, Tennessee. All of those people exist, and they don't acknowledge them. Well, they'll have to acknowledge them come voting day.
Come voting day.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one last thing, I absolutely believe the COVID numbers is a political thing. All of a sudden, it's going to erase, it's going to go like a miracle, it's going to erase everything good. But if
David
Trump
wins,
all of a sudden, it's the worst thing ever.
I will never be the hypocrite who acts like, well, I have a few black friends. I don't. I have one black friend, and David, you just qualified to be maybe someday my second black friend. You and I should have lunch together because I think we could be buddies. Thank you, David.
Absolutely.
All righty, man. Thanks. See, it's not all what you see on TV. Now, Dan, I'm assuming Fred's on for Scott.
Yes.
Okay, Fred, if you'll hang on. Two lines are open. I'm going to do one bit of business, and the rest I'm handing it over to you folks who need help from Scott Sherman, who is an attorney. The numbers are 314, and you will get in if you call right now, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Complete Auto Body will be hosting a golf tournament tomorrow. Now, I say they're hosting. I think that Complete Auto Body is the host. I know they're a big part of the golf tournament tomorrow that I didn't even know anything about until yesterday, and it's to benefit Responder Rescue. Responder Rescue is sort of a, think of it as a sister charity to Backstoppers. Backstoppers comes in when a police officer or firefighter is killed in the line of duty and pays off mortgages, tuitions, car payments. It's wonderful what they do. What Responder Rescue does is when a firefighter, police officer is injured but not killed, I got to tell you, there are as many financial burdens then, maybe more, than if somebody gets killed, because they have the rest of their lives where they may need, who knows what, full-time care, wheelchair, hospitalization, therapy, whatever. That's what Responder Rescue is all about. So, Curtis Barks at Complete Auto Body, I'm so glad you told me about this charity. I didn't know, I'd never heard of it. They've been around about 10 years. You don't have to participate in the golf tournament tomorrow to help them. You could just call Complete Auto Body and say, hey, how do I make up my check and who do I send it to? I'd like to make a contribution to Responder Rescue. If you are a supporter of the police, if you hate the police, then you're not going to want to participate in this. Responder Rescue. Complete Auto Body. Three locations, Hazelwood, Delwood, St. Peter's. Oh, look at you folks lining up here, filling up the phone lines. Good for you. Hazelwood, Delwood, St. Peter's. Complete Auto Body. There are actually three parts that make it complete. One is collision repair. You get in an accident, and never forget that you have the right to tell your insurance company where you want that vehicle repaired, and you want it repaired at Complete Auto Body. Don't settle for anything less than that. It's your car. You pay good money for it. You want it put back together like it never happened, like there never was an accident. Second part, service. They do complete auto service. Not just collision repair, but service. Oil change, tires, brakes, that kind of thing. Part three, they have their own towing company, A to B Towing. So they got it all covered. They have you taken care of all the way around. And the rest is up to you. Now, you're going to need service on a fairly regular basis. Hopefully, you don't need the collision repair that often. The average is 7 years. That's how often the average person has to take a car into a body shop, is every 7 years. So when your time comes, whether it's 7 or 8 or 3, or maybe you're a really bad driver and you're in there every year or two, please do us a favor, do yourself a favor. Complete Auto Body, and never forget to tell them that you're AM and the PM. You can find out more at CompleteAB.com. Come on in here, Johnny.
Man in Black, I'm Johnny Cash.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong?
Well, the lines, I'm thrilled to say, are filled. But once Scott Sherman has helped put somebody's mind at ease and that line is clear, your job is to jump right in and call, and I don't know which one to call first. Just start calling these two numbers, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. You do it now, you get a busy signal. As soon as he's finished with somebody, you'll get in. Ladies and gentlemen, attorney at law, Scott Sherman.
Thank you.
Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great. And roll tide to David.
All right. And I'd like to apologize to you, in addition to everybody else, for talking serious talk. And I know I'm not supposed to do that, and that's not what I'm here for. And I don't do it that often. So to head off emails from
people. It is always great to hear from an intelligent listener that thinks differently than people have a cliche about the way that listener is supposed to think. And I admire that.
Hashtag truth.
I like iconoclastic people. And the people that don't go with the flow but have their own.
Well, I wish
hashtag limey is an idiot.
I just wish I were smarter. Then I'd actually know what iconoclastic means.
You fit right in. It means going against
the grain or the masses.
Not going with the flow.
What are you doing? What's this hashtag back and forth? What do we got here?
It's just a new thing.
He ripped it off from John Oliver.
We're just starting to say hashtag in the middle of sentences, because that's the cool thing now to do these days is to make hashtags. Okay. So we're
not do it? And I'll tell you why.
I'm sorry.
Hashtag scolded.
Hashtag you're fired. Is that one? you like that one? Scott, are you ready to help people?
Yes.
Well, then let's do it. Let's start with... Yes. I'm sorry, Dan?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Hashtag pink slip. Fred, welcome to 590 The Fan. I'm assuming you're calling to talk to Scott Sherman, so say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking, and everybody else, I assume you're well. Hashtag something.
No. You know what?
Hashtag AMP.
Hashtag AMP. Fred, that's a good way for our phones to all of a sudden go out, and then you mysteriously get disconnected. You know who Fred sounds like? Bob with one O. He sounds just like
him. Oh, he does? Yeah. Very much so, yeah.
So, Fred with one E, what's going on?
Quick question, Scott, about car titles. Recently paid off a loan on a car, and the bank that held the lien on the car sent basically a Xerox copy, or like a digital scan of the original title. Is that what's going on these days? Is that considered a legal document if I ever sell the car and have to sign the title over to anybody?
Well, I bought and sold a lot of cars. I've never heard of Xerox copy. Maybe it's temporary until they obtain or get the title, but they should be holding the title.
I think it's the opposite. I think it's so easy to fake things that they want that original title and it has seals on it. I had to check with my guy at DOR, but
why would they do that?
Why would they
keep the original title?
They shouldn't have it. It's not theirs to have once they're paid off. Once the lien is released, the original title belongs to the true owner.
Right, but why would they have not sent him that title?
Without putting a hashtag in it, I think that whoever did that was not as informed as they should be. And you might be right, Frank. They might be sending it. But I would demand the original title, because no one's going to accept that.
Fred, did you call and ask him how come you got a Xerox?
No, I decided I'd ask somebody who could give me a better perspective before I spent half the day in Phone Tree Hell.
Yeah, I would find... When you purchased it from the original owner, that title was in the possession of the lien holder, or the original owner didn't give you the title?
No, I financed the car, and sent me a
you're the original. Yeah, you need the title. Yeah,
well, it was a used car, but I went through the standard titling process in the state of Missouri.
No, you need it. You need that, and if they won't give it to you, I'd go to DOR and say, make these bums give this to me, or give me a replacement title without them as the lien holder.
Okay.
Do you have a lien release from them?
Of course, yes.
Take that with you. I know it sucks to go there, but if you send me an email, I got a little backdoor. I don't have much juice when it comes to, sort of VIP stuff. But if you send me an email, I think I can get you a workaround so you don't have to sit at one of those places half the day. But, yeah.
Great. Thanks.
That belongs to you.
Thanks so much, Scott. And hashtag AM and the PM, guys.
Thanks, Fred.
you know how long it's going to take that to get real old? 5 minutes ago. We have a line open. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Don't mess around. Call now. You will get in. Let's go to Jim. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hey, hi, Jim.
Answer that guy, last guy's question real quick.
Okay.
He should have had the title after he registered it, and all he needs is a lien release from his financial institution.
Yeah.
That's all they
said. Yeah, I don't like when I hear that a lien holder has a title. You know, their lien on the title is enough.
But that used to be the way it always was until fairly recently. You didn't get the title. The lien holder always held the title.
Yeah, I don't
but
like
they it. Sent it to you
mm-hmm.
once you paid it off. They didn't. They sent him a copy of it. But it wasn't that long ago they always held it.
They'll do it with a lease because it's theirs.
Yeah.
But, I don't like the lien holder. That's what the lien's for. So you can't do anything with the title until they're paid. But that document is not theirs. It's his.
Okay.
So I don't like it. But I'm with Jim on that.
So, Jim, what can Scott help you with?
Hey, I have a question. I have a friend, an acquaintance. I don't know him that well, but I work a volunteer job in St. Charles. He's kind of down on his luck. He had enough money. He's trying to get back on his feet. He rented a car from a name brand rental dealer, and they never asked for insurance. So he didn't get insurance. He does not have insurance on a car. Unfortunately, he got carjacked, and they stole the car.
Whoa.
He is worried now, which, I mean, I would be too, as well, that he's going to have to pay for the car. But the thing is, I've looked this up online. Realistically, he never signed anything on the contract saying he had insurance. Do you think he's liable for that car since they failed to have him initial next to it saying he's declining and he's responsible?
Can I take this?
Sure.
Yeah, I do. I think he's bought himself a car. And I'll tell you why. I'll bet you if he goes back and looked that paperwork real closely, somewhere in there it says if you decline our insurance and don't take it, you're responsible for it through your own insurance company or out of your own pocket, Scott.
That's about right.
Initial next to those parts, though, that he had insurance and that he would be responsible. They failed to have him do it. Apparently, he had rented it several other times, a car from this company. They did the same thing each time. He never initialed saying he had insurance, never initialed saying he would be responsible. Because there was,
they didn't catch it.
Yeah, but that doesn't get him out of the other provisions of the agreement that say if this car doesn't come back here, whether it's stolen by a third party or
it's on you,
or
if you didn't take
crashed,
our insurance, on you.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to piece in there something where a criminal act that intervenes could relieve him of any responsibility.
Here's the way I look at this: by not checking, yes, I have insurance. That could easily be a case of a guy who has plenty of money, and he doesn't need insurance to cover it. He'll just pay for the car.
Well, then he would have to check decline.
And insurance isn't the basis.
No, it's not declining their insurance. It's checking that he has his own insurance. I still say there's somewhere written in there, it makes a simple statement. If you decline our insurance, you are responsible. Whether you have you are responsible for this car.
I think Frank's right, without looking at it. I've rented some cars. You know, it comes up where some former employees of the big local auto
rental
place,
right,
whose name we won't use, have said, don't get the extra insurance. As a lawyer, I'm like, it depends. If you don't have comprehensive or collision, if somebody runs into you and they're uninsured, you're screwed. Or if it gets stolen, which is part of comprehensive, you're also screwed.
Yeah, the other time,
if you don't have insurance, you're also screwed.
Yeah, the other time I take their insurance, the only other time I do is if I'm far away from home, and I just don't want the hassle of. I'll go, okay, I'll take your insurance, especially if it's only for a day or two, a rental. It's not
right.
That much money. But otherwise, yeah, usually you decline
right, if you're on vacation.
If you have a fat policy that'll cover everything you need to have covered.
It doesn't excuse your liability for the fact that the car is missing or gone.
Right.
But sometimes there are situations where you could argue, hey, I was carjacked. I was the victim of a crime, and therefore that superseding intervening cause relieves me of negligence. But I'm guessing that these car rental agreements don't care about negligence. They just like, you didn't bring the car back, you're on the hook. The good thing maybe for your friend is he might be so broke that he's completely uncollectible, and this doesn't come back on him. The chances are whoever carjacked him, even if they catch that person, they're not going to have the money to pay for the car that they took. So I think your friend's got some letters coming and some maybe litigation coming. I would tell him maybe talk to a lawyer about, you know, we don't want him to feel terrible about this, but what are your options? And if he's uncollectible, there may not be the necessity for an option. Or if he's hasn't filed bankruptcy in the last 7 years, that takes care of that. So it sucks, but his not checking that or initialing that box does not relieve him of the responsibility that went the car that he took off their lot didn't come back.
Jim, let me ask you a question. Is he a licensed driver? Does he have a car of his own?
He used to. The car broke down. He does have a license. He's had some issues in the past where, you know, and he's trying to get back on his feet, and he doesn't have anything. And, I mean, it's horrible that, you know, he's just trying to get his life back together.
But if he knew he didn't have insurance, why wouldn't he have checked to take their insurance?
He barely had enough money to pay for the rental car.
Extra
what I
money.
Understand.
It costs extra.
No, I know it costs extra. But now look where he is. I mean, now he's got something that's really going to cost him.
He actually might be the one person in the rental situation that this won't affect financially. He's completely uncollectible.
I'll tell you what this might change, though.
Yeah.
This company may, in the future, if I were renting cars, just like when you go to the DMV, I'd go, I'd like to see some proof of insurance if you're not going to take ours. I can't believe they don't do that.
Yep.
But they don't.
Sometimes
they
not.
They do. I mean, every time I rented a car, I show them a proof of insurance. That's what I didn't understand.
I have one that might be here. Jim, is this the multiple times that he's renewed renting, if not that vehicle, another? So is he a frequent flyer on rental? He's been renting for four or 5 months.
Yep.
Maybe they got accustomed to this guy in the first time or second time or third time, and they just figured he's just a frequent flyer. They didn't check it this time. But if you're going to rent a car because you've got people coming from out of town, the driver's license, the insurance are what they're asking for. So it might be that the clerk or whoever, the agent, knows him and just kind of forgot or let it go.
Are you saying this guy rents cars for like 4 and 5 months at a time?
No. Just for like a day or so. He's trying to get his life back together financially.
Okay.
And he's rented from this company like 3 times. Yeah. And he said he never showed an insurance card and they never asked for one. And he never checked the box.
Well, you know what?
Somebody didn't do their job.
He's going to have to get a lawyer, but he may have something here. But if I had to put money on it, I would say read that rental agreement.
It'd be great if he didn't sign the rental agreement.
And the fine line in that rental agreement, by the way, I've rented a car before, and somebody hit the rental car. If you don't report that accident within 24 hours and you buy their insurance, they won't cover it. You have to report it within 1 day.
See, that's the kind of stuff that's in there that you need to be aware of.
And then if somebody does something to it that doesn't total it, key scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they try to get you for a whole paint job.
Yep.
Key scratch, that'll be $2,000.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing in the world. But even if your friend had insurance on this thing, Jim, if he didn't have comprehensive coverage, it's an optional coverage. If he only had liability, it wouldn't have covered him anyway. So he's on the hook because some D-bag made him the victim of a carjacking.
And
they're never going to find the car.
This goes back to how all of us, every day, we sign things and we don't read it. And I'm not going to read it because I wouldn't even understand most of it. But if it's in there, anywhere, in any form, anything happens to this car and you declined our insurance, you are responsible. They don't care if you have insurance. You're responsible.
No. And sometimes you have the not right type of insurance.
Right.
It'd be so much fun to have the insurance seminar about cars. to explain
I'm
all
I'm really
stuff.
Surprised. I've rented cars. I don't ever remember them asking me to see proof of insurance, ever.
No, they never have with me either.
I'm surprised. They should. Jim, good luck to your friend. You're a good friend for checking on this.
Where did he get carjacked?
In St. Charles, right down near Main Street.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not a likely place.
No.
Right. You're going to say.
Well, good luck to him.
Hold him on.
You're a good friend. Worry. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, guys. Have a good evening.
You too.
Thanks, Jim.
I always like people who call on behalf of somebody else who, you know, doesn't know who to call, trying to help him out. We got a line open, 314-821-0590. If that doesn't do it, dial this one, 855-282-82. Oh, there, somebody jumped on it. This is great. This is how it's supposed to work. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman. Thanks for the service, guys. Keep it funny. That's why I listen.
Hi, no, Chuck.
We'll try to start that Monday.
I bought my knucklehead brother-in-law because he ran over it with his car and bent the end of it. And
You're cutting in and out. Let's try this again because you're just going in and out. The cellular signal is not good. Try it again. Start over.
All right. How about now?
Go ahead.
I'll hold up my arm.
Okay.
That gets us better. All right, so I bought a shotgun from my knucklehead brother-in-law who ran over it.
Okay.
And the end of it was bent, and I bought it with the intent of cutting it off to 19 inches. The legal length is 18, right?
Right.
And then I got to thinking, can I do that?
Can you do what?
Can I cut off a shotgun?
Yeah, to 18 inches.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if I had to have a license of some sort to modify a gun.
No, I have an 18-inch shotgun under my bed, and I bought it that way.
End-to-end is 18 inches?
No, barrel.
Just the barrel.
18-inch barrel. And I bought it that way.
Yeah, from the block to the end of the barrel.
Yeah, Mossberg and other companies sell a home self-defense shotgun, and I think it's 18.5 inches, just to be safe. But it comes that way. So for you to cut it, if you have the tools to do that right, yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. Well, excellent.
And look, I say that with 90% certainty that you can modify it that way. Because I don't know why you couldn't. That is still a legal barrel length. Why couldn't you? I had a 28-inch barrel taken down to a 26-inch barrel. What's the difference?
So you had somebody do it, and I didn't know if they were like a licensed gun guy.
That's a great point, and rather than take what I just said as being 100%, I think all you have to do is call any gun shop and ask them, or gunsmith even better, and ask him if you do it yourself. Anybody who knows more than I, or
with Pistols Plus now,
I would think so. Yeah, call Pistols Plus, ask for probably just about anybody there. They should be able to tell you. I would certainly think they would know. But, and in fact, that's a better idea, because if you call a gunsmith, they're going to go, no, we need to do it. You know, I mean, you never know. They might just want the business and want to do it themselves. So, yeah.
I thought an attorney might be a...
Yeah, but his specialty, Scott's specialty, is not guns. I'm surprised you can't just Google this. Is it legal for me?
And it comes up. It doesn't come up. It just says what the legal length is.
But, well, there you go.
I can cut it off. I got to, you know, I can do that. I just didn't want
to. Personally, and I don't think that's a problem at all. I never heard, I don't know why that would be a problem. But check a couple other places. Check a couple gun stores. See what they say. But I don't think you got a problem.
All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Again, let me make it clear, not 100%. But if I had to put a bet down, because I'm a gambler, I'd put a pretty good chunk of money on it's okay to do that. Let's go to Rudy. Oh, line is open. Shouldn't be open long. 314-821-0590, 855-282-8255. Rudy, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Hi, Rudy. How are you?
Pretty good. First of all, I'm AM and the PM. Hallelujah. Got a quick question about drones and invasion of privacy. Me and my wife, we got a little do-nothing mobile home near Warsaw, Missouri. And the mobile homes are pretty crowded in there. We'll go out there, we got a little fire pit, another barbecue and whatnot. With this idiot neighbor, he flies his drone just right over, you know, several, I don't know, 40, 50 feet above us, right over our fire pit, and just kind of looking down on us. And I finally said something to him. I said, are you the one flying the drone? He said, well, yeah, I am. And I just kind of, just the tone of my voice, he landed it and got it away from there. But what is the, I mean, if he's just hovering this thing over our fire pit while they're trying to do it, is that invasion of privacy, or can I take a 12-gauge shotgun and blow the SOB out of the air? How does that work?
I don't think you can shoot him out of the air, but I do think you could knock it out of the air with something, and it's not invasion of privacy unless he's got a camera on it. Does he have a camera on it?
Well, that I don't know. I just assume he does, because it's one of those little ones that hovers around, has a little light on it. I also thought about getting a laser and just shining a laser at it, because if it does have a camera on it, it'll kind of scatter the light. But most of them, I'm assuming it does, because most of them do. The way he's hovering around, it looks like he's, you know, trying to take pictures and look in on something, because he'll hover for several seconds over our fire pit. I finally walked over and said something to him. I said, "Are you the guy with the drone?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well," and I guess by tone of my voice, he got the hint and got it. But, you know, what is the reserve?
Well, if I can chime in here, sir, real quick, the Missouri state law, the same day that Friday that the no helmet law for motorcycles went into effect, Missouri just passed a new state law involving drones, and it does not include what you're talking about. They passed the law saying you can't fly it over stadiums, you can't fly it over jails, but he's absolutely right. There is no law preventing somebody from just hovering a drone over your property and looking down at you, swimming in your pool, having a family barbecue. Basically, it's stalking, as far as I'm concerned. Scott and I had a spirited conversation about a year ago on the show about the GPS laws in this state, which there are none for the most part, unless it's an aggravator in a stalking case. But Scott, don't you think this is something the legislature needs to address? Because they've already addressed part of it, but this guy is going to be one of many people that this is going to happen to, because they keep getting more popular.
Yeah, you know, legislature here, you know, they got a lot of work to do. Most of it they don't do.
Rudy, you sound like a pretty intimidating guy. If this were me, you've already kind of warned him. And the next time I talk to him, I go, "Rudy, what's that drone worth that you fly over us all the time?" And then maybe he'll tell you, and you go, "What's it going to be worth after I hit it with a 12-gauge shotgun? That's exactly what I'm going to do." Now, whether you really do it or not, but if it's worth anything at all, he's not going to want you doing that. The reason you can't do it, you're in a trailer park. You fire a 12-gauge shotgun, right, you're in trouble.
I'll go to jail.
Yeah, but if you can find another way to knock it out of the air, if you do, there's not a thing he can do about it.
Well, it's just rude. I mean, and I know
sure it's rude.
Mobile homes are kind of close together, but it's like, we were the only ones out there. It was a nice night. We had a little fire pit going and barbecuing. And he's right over our, you know, lo and behold, he's right over our little hole there. Instead of, if he was like buzzing around, going up and down the park, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But he hovered right over our, and it was several seconds. And I finally did say something to him. I'm about 6'2", 250. I'm no little guy. And not that I'm a tough guy, but I did kind of walk over and said, "Is that you with the drone?" Oh yeah, then he immediately landed it.
Has he done it since you said that to him?
Well, we haven't been back since. We go there on the weekends. Now my sister was there a couple weeks. It's me and my sister own it together. Our families own it together. She said he's done it a couple times to her too. I said, "Did you say anything to him?" And she said no, because she's worried about him, you know, tearing up our trailer, because we're not there all the time. And it's kind of a weekend.
Let me ask you this: What is it? The noise that bothers you, or it's the fact that you think he might be taking a video?
That the second, the latter, yeah.
So what? What's he going to see? A fire pit? I mean, I'm seriously. She's not by the pool, topless, or I mean, if you think about it,
I could be topless, Frank.
my point is, okay, knock yourself out. Yeah.
My follow up question to this gentleman, and I would defer to Scott on this, is how far up in the air, if you own a home on property, how far up in the air do you own? You know, it's the same question, how far down below ground do you own? How far up in the air? Because once that drone becomes underneath whatever that height is, technically that's your property, and you have the right to destroy, right. You have the right to destroy your own property.
The FAA gives you like 400 feet, but that's the FAA.
Okay, but
I don't think you own the air above your house.
I'm trying to research this, and it says you own the air as high above ground as normal use of the land requires, which means as tall as whatever building you right. have in there, plus a buffer zone. So if this guy's like hovering it down 20 feet over
his head. He said 40, 50 feet.
Well, you know, that's...
Yeah, it was about 40, 50 feet off the ground.
I don't think you can do anything.
I've actually done...
Go ahead,
a bit of
Scott.
Research.
Scott's already researched.
No, I mean, I already did this a couple years ago.
Go ahead.
I have the law, and then I have a bit of a solution that might be a little bit of a pain. But the first thing is Rudy sounds 6'2", 230
He does.
Just on the phone.
He does.
But privacy is a very important doctrine. The difficulty with when you live in a multi-family unit community, like an apartment complex or in this case a trailer community, is that some of that common area is not yours. And
right,
so the actual, there's no actual boundary where you have a driveway or a backyard at this site. So if you're at the fire pit, that might be the community fire pit. Or if it's not, you don't own that piece of the ground. You just rent space where,
correct,
where that, right, where that is. I don't know if
you rent
they,
the pad where, yeah.
You get the pad. The pad. I don't know if you get a driveway, but let's say you,
you
do. Don't.
You get a little driveway. Get a, you get a little, we got a little.
Whatever the, let's say somebody went to and chalked out the actual property line that you rent. That's yours. Fire pit's not inside of that. That doesn't mean that it can't be an invasion of privacy. It just can't be an invasion of your trailer number's privacy. So he would have no invasion of that just by being over the boundary.
He also doesn't even know that it's got the video capability.
It doesn't matter.
Scott, do you remember what you told the caller a couple months ago that called with this? And Frank got in on as well. The guy had private rural property.
Yes.
And he actually went, remember the caller went to the sheriff and he said, what should I do about this? The sheriff said, shoot it down.
That's I'm not going to arrest you. That's not the law, but that was good advice. Here's what I said, I believe.
And that also was rural property where you're not endangering other people by shooting.
You can screw with this guy, this kid with the drone very well. And Frank said the key. It's the FAA. You're supposed to have a flight plan. I know that's ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous, but these drones are actually small aircraft. And they have to be licensed and registered with the FAA.
Ooh, you know what, Rudy?
I would call the FAA and say, I've got an out-of-compliance drone at this location. I think I know the guy. Get the guy's name. Say, here's who it is, and let them send one of those pucker letters to this kid.
Yeah.
And now you don't have to shoot anything, and you don't have to do anything. But if he's doing it right over your head, and you think that it's dangerous, take a big stick and smash it to pieces, thinking that it was trying to attack you or one of your loved ones.
I would bet that he does not have it registered, and he's supposed to.
No.
Mine has a number on it, like the tail of an airplane, and I have, and you're required to have the number on a sticker on the, so that if I, let's say I crashed it in Tim's yard, Tim could pick it up and run that number with the FAA and know exactly whose drone that was, and they come after me. If you don't have that on there, you're in violation. I'll bet you he doesn't have it registered. I'd ask him, I'd go, what's your FAA registration number on that drone? And if you can't give it to me, maybe I need to have the FAA pay you a little visit.
Yeah, and trespassing or not, he's harassing you with it. He's he's looking over, because Frank's right about this. If you, let's say you was topless or your wife was topless and you're in public, I can look at that with a pair of binoculars.
Right.
Not that I would.
Right.
Not you.
Not Rudy.
But it's not Rudy.
You wouldn't look at me.
No, I wouldn't do that.
But Scott, it's illegal to record somebody in the state of Missouri engaging in sexual activity without their knowledge. Even a kiss would be considered that. He could record that drone over his property, go to the police and say, my wife and I were engaging in amorous behavior, and this man is flying his drone over our house, and I believe he's recording us. Why couldn't he file a criminal complaint?
Well, one, they're not involved in any sexual activity. Two,
says who?
Says the video. Rudy can't make a false.
Two, he doesn't even know there is video.
All Rudy needs to say is he's annoying us with this thing, and he won't stop when we ask
Rudy,
him to stop.
Rudy, here's my solution. You just said, how tall are you? 6'5"?
6'2".
Six two.
And how much do you weigh?
40.
Yeah. Here's the deal, Rudy. I'd pay him a one-on-one visit. I'd have a baseball bat in my hand. And I go, if you fly that thing over us again like that, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to pay you another visit. It won't be as nice as this one. He can't prove that you did it. He's not recording you. I don't think if it were me and you did that, I'm not flying it over your place again. Sometimes you just got to shut somebody down.
Well, and that's what I kind of did. I stepped out there from the shadows. He got a good look at me, and his buddy knows me, and they know who I am, and I don't know him in particular, but I know his buddy. He's my neighbor, and I think this guy lives a couple doors down. And like I said, I just kind of stepped out of the shadows and said, are you flying the drone? He goes, yeah. And I almost said, don't quit flying it. Right when I said that, he immediately brought it over, brought it down, and was done for the night. I didn't see him after that again. I didn't see him the rest of the weekend, so I think he got the message.
Okay.
But he did.
Rudy, check the FAA's website also, because you can make a complaint. If you got the guy's name and his address, make the complaint. Let him deal with them. And yeah, exactly. And he doesn't have the means with which to explain himself. He doesn't have a flight pattern, and he is harassing you. If right. he does it again and it continues, whether you take the baseball bat approach or not, you could file a police report and say, this guy is harassing us. He's not necessarily trespassing, but he is bothering us, and he's doing it intentionally. We've asked him to stop. He won't stop. And try that one. I like the baseball bat one. I do. But I can't tell you to do that.
No.
There are a couple of crackheads, we know it. And,
well, wouldn't it be nice for the police to go over there and look in their trailer and see what's going on?
That's what I was
going to
do and just say, look, this guy's, I don't know his name. I know his buddy's name, but I don't know his name, but I could easily find that. All I got to do is watch him. He lives about three doors down.
I don't know what that smell is coming out of their place.
Rudy,
but
I think one more visit from you and this is over.
Well, that's like I said, I didn't see it the rest of the weekend after I asked him if I said, like I said, I just kind of said it kind of,
And I'd make it clear, hey, pal, even if I'm not home, if my sister, girlfriend, whoever this other woman, if she tells me that thing is flying over our place, I'm coming back to visit you. Okay?
That's exactly
I think you're
that's
done.
Kind of what I'd do.
I think he's done.
And there's no exemption for the size of the drone to be registered. It doesn't matter. You can get them that way. And on the air rights thing, I think higher than 400 feet or so, commercial planes all have an easement. But I think that it is true that when you buy a piece of property, the air rights do extend to infinity.
Yeah.
You can't stop planes from flying or even drones from flying, but they have to comply with FAA rules.
Right.
That's why they have.
Sure. All right, Rudy. Good luck.
Gentlemen, very enlightening. As always, appreciate it, and love you guys, and it could be in a sexual way. You guys
not for me, Rudy. Thank you. Thank you, Rudy. Rudy just told us he didn't look good without a shirt or topless, so the sex thing is out for me. Let me see. I think if we go really quickly, we can work Tim in here. Tim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Scott Sherman.
Hey, Scott.
Hello, Scott Sherman.
Oh, good one.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Fine. How are you? I am in the PM.
Thank you. What do you got?
And I'm thinking of selling my house to a flipper, and he sent me a contract, and there's a couple of lines in it that I'm not sure about that don't make sense to me. It says, the buyer may cancel this agreement. Buyer may insist upon the specific performance of the seller under this agreement, but it doesn't say what specific performance is.
That's a good red flag.
Yeah.
Caught two of them. I don't like it.
No.
Yeah. And then
the third one is the buyer shall be entitled to receive from the seller at least 25% of the contractual price.
When? Upfront?
Regardless?
No. Heck no. No. No, tear that up. I would never sign that.
Yeah.
25% if the deal doesn't go through? Of course not.
You know what the definition of a bad contract is? One you didn't write.
Yeah.
If somebody wrote it and they bring it to you, that's not good.
No.
Not without having it reviewed. So your antennae are up big time, and anybody that would present you with something like that is not somebody I would do business with. But, Tim, if you want one of my real estate lawyer people that aren't affiliated with this flipper to look at it, send me an email. But I would put the brakes like Fred Flintstone on that thing.
No.
I don't like it. 25%. So every time he breaches the contract, you have to give him 25%. He'd never have to buy a house.
No.
All he'd do is run around canceling the contracts and then demand 25% from everybody.
Your instincts were right. Get rid of this guy. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
We are.
I'll send it to you. Thanks, Scott.
We're absolutely out of time. Scott Sherman, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Everybody, Scott Sherman, attorney at law, law office of Scott Sherman at gmail.com. He'll be back in here again next Thursday. I have just enough time. Limey, I'll run about a half minute over. First Community Credit Union has a terrific opportunity for you to borrow some money, and the rate for the first 12 months is incredible. It's 2.75% APR for the first 12 months. If you apply by October 31st, that's the deal. That's it. And for 12 months, it's 2.75. Then it flips to the 3.99% APR. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the loan that you want to jump on, if there's anything you want to do, you want to update your house, you want your Tim Woodburn and you want to paint cabinets or build a whatever or extend the garage or any of that stuff, pay off tuition for somebody in your house, or pay off credit cards. What you do with it is up to you, but that is a great rate for the first 12 months and a good rate for the remainder of the contractual period. If you'd like to know more, because there are some terms and conditions, you simply go to firstcommunity.com, and please remember, this is a great place to bank. Whether you take advantage of this particular loan or not, it's just a flat-out great place to bank because their rates are so competitive and the service is so good. So over 40 locations, largest credit union in the St. Louis area, First Community Credit Union, firstcommunity.com. It is 5 o'clock. Actually, it's 5:01 at 590 The Fan.